Partners of Ramsey Solutions. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. I'm Dave Ramsey, your host, Ken Coleman, Ramsey personality, host of the Ken Coleman Show, and author of the number one bestseller, From Paycheck to Purpose. He is my co-host today as we answer your questions and help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Garrett is going to start us off this hour. He is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Hi, Garrett. What's up?
Mr. Ramsey, it's an honor to ask you how you are.
Better than I deserve, sir. What's up?
Good to hear. Well, the company I work for, I think, might be in trouble. For the last 5-10 years, we've done $10 to $12 million in revenue, made 5 to 10% every year. This year, we're showing negative $1.6 million bottom line. Cash flow is good. I don't know what to do.
You own the company? You said you work for them.
I work for them. I work pretty closely with the owner.
Okay. What do you do?
So I'm project estimator, project manager. I'm trying to help with the financials. I've followed your principles. I'm debt-free. I'm trying to bring them into the company. I'm in talks with NetSuite right now to get them set up with our company.
Good.
And we're just trying to understand how we're showing $1.6 million in a loss right now. Our basic expenses are payroll, fuel, and repairs.
Let's start with a simple equation that profit is created by revenue minus expenses, right?
Yes, sir.
So what's down or what's up? Expenses up and revenue's down? What's the deal?
I think for the revenue for this time of year is down quite a bit. I think expenses for our hourly rates have gone up. We do hourly jobs and we do bid jobs. For the bid jobs, we show positive revenue or positive profit for that job.
You're an estimator. If your hourly has gone up on individual jobs, that's a variable expense that should be built into the job cost.
Correct.
Have you not added it to the job cost and added profit on top of it? Hourly shouldn't on a in, hourly that is that can be costed out, job costed to a job. You as an estimator know that should not have sunk you. It should have just raised the cost of the customer.
Right, and there are several divisions in our company, and I've spent a few days analyzing our hours for last year and marking that against our overhead for the year, and those rates seem pretty high, and sometimes they're just not used, and they go with their gut feeling, because if we charge, $400 for a dozer, they're just going to tell us no, so we have to try and make...
No is good. If you're losing $100 when you charged $400, you'd have been better off to park it.
So...
You don't lose money when it's parked.
Okay.
I mean... If the cost of the dozer operator now makes the rate for a dozer $500 and you're only charging $400, that's why you're losing money. You haven't raised your prices after your labor cost went up.
Okay.
Am I missing something?
Better off, no, sir. So better off not to work for those companies if they won't accept our rates?
Exactly. Because guess what? Everybody's got the same problem you got. You didn't just pay your dozer operators way more than everybody else. The cost of a dozer operator went up. I got the same thing internally, except I don't have dozer operators. I've got developers. I got programmers, the tech world. And the only thing they're dozing is ones and zeros, but they're dozing them. And so, the cost of a developer has gone up dramatically in 24 months. And guess what? That's going to be reflected in what you guys pay to go to a Ramsey whatever, because I'm going to pass, the business owners pass those costs along. Corporations don't lose money. They raise their prices. Companies
so for
don't.
Our hourly rates, we need to project how much overhead we think we're going to have for the year and then project how many hours we're going to use that dozer for and then divide that and then add 10% to that, and then that's what we should charge?
Yeah, what most companies do, and you're an estimator, so you probably already know all this, but what most companies do is they say, okay, here's the cost of the cost of goods sold. Here's the materials, the equipment usage, and the labor associated with the job. Okay, and that's the dozer operator, the fuel, the truck cost to move the dozer to the site. Okay, all of that is job costed. You know what I'm saying, right, Garrett?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Then most companies, in addition to that, will allocate an overhead percentage to that job. And you can determine the overhead percentage however you want. You can do it based on gross revs and say, okay, we got a $10 million gross rev. This is a $1 million job. So this job gets 10% of our overhead. You see how I did that?
Yep.
A pro rata allocation of overhead to each job. And you need to be job costing out your overhead and then adding profit to both the actual cost of the job costed overhead together, then put a profit on top of that, and bang, you're back profitable again. But I think two things have happened. One is you guys were pretty disorganized on some of these smaller jobs. The bigger jobs you were doing a good job of running the job cost on, and your accounting on these smaller jobs sucks, and you're guessing.
I think you're correct on that.
Yeah.
Well, we're trying our
you would be a normal $10 million company. That's what we were doing when we were $10 million. Our accounting sucked when we were $10 million. And I'm the money guy, and our accounting was horrible. But today, man, it's so freaking dialed in, it's unbelievable. And so you're really doing a good job, a good thing here. So your leadership team needs to get into Entree Leadership yesterday, and our guys can coach you guys through this. But this is first you got to know where you are and get these numbers dialed in to each job and get the overhead dialed in, and then start an allocation of overhead formula of some kind, and then add profits to the top of that. Then that will tell you how to raise your prices, and this is going to go away. But what happened was you were out earning your stupidity.
You're
making enough money that your sloppiness, you were getting away with it.
There's also one other thing going on here, Garrett, and I heard it when you said it. We have to say no then. We'll have to walk away from a company that doesn't want to pay it. You don't get to exclude yourself from the marketplace. Inflation is a function of all of this, and so your hourly wages have gone up, the cost of fuel, which makes that dozer more expensive. So you guys are worried about them going, well, we don't like that. Well, tough. Because you just got to stand your ground and explain basic economics to these folks.
The dozer company across town has the same fuel cost, and they have the same labor cost.
That's right.
And so if they're not going to go up on their price, you're going to be buying their machines at a nickel on the dollar when they go broke. So this is why the cost of bread has gone up, because the cost of fuel to deliver the bread has gone up. The $10 guy that used to put the bread on the shelf is now a $20 guy. Those numbers are all built into the cost of bread. And so if you want a universal wage, guess who's going to pay for it? You are, because you're going to cut. It's going to be absorbed into the cost of that loaf of bread. You do not get to pass on this stuff like you're a magic fairy wand. Oh, my gosh. Talking about the real estate market and how hot it is right now. We are doing on July the 14th a live stream about the real estate market. Everybody's upset about it. Everybody's scared about it. Everybody's excited about it. Everybody's talking about it. So we think we should do the same. So we're going to do that. It's called the Real Estate Reality Check. We launched it today. The live stream is free. Yeah, you heard me. Free. We're not charging for it. So George Camel, Rachel Cruz, and I will unpack everything for you about prices going down. Is the housing market going to crash? Is this a reboot of the 2008 recession? Are you going to see something similar? What about inflation? What about recession? What about my house price? Should I wait for house prices to go down to buy? Spoiler alert, no. And here's the thing. We're not going to participate in the fear porn of the news networks. We're just going to give you the actual facts, and we'll do it in line with historical perspective, which is the only way you can analyze these trends properly. You cannot analyze them when you put your hand up so close in front of your face that you can't see. You have to back out, pan back, zoom out until you get a full view of what's really going on. And then you go, oh, in light of that, I don't have to be so scared. Real estate reality check. Have your friends that think we're going to hell in a handbasket watch. This is free because we're not. RamseySolutions.com/reality check. RamseySolutions.com/reality check. Also, something else going on around here. Dr. John Deloney's new, we've got new versions of the Questions for Humans. These conversation starter card packs are amazing. You know, we've sold about 50,000 of these things. It's crazy. It's awesome. I'm so excited. I didn't think it would be this big, but it's huge. You guys are buying these conversation cards like crazy. People don't know how to talk to each other, and this is a way to get the conversation started. Now we've got four new types: a girls' night pack, a guys' night pack, a dating for people who are dating, parents and teens, and a workplace edition. Questions for Human cards are now at RamseySolutions.com, brand new set. Our question of the day comes from Blinds.com. Find out for yourself why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Free samples, free shipping, and new promos all the time. Use the promo code Ramsey.
Today's question comes from Rita, New Jersey. I am a Java programmer. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
I feel like that was a little above my pay grade.
No, you did it.
Yeah, there it is. And I've been with the same company for almost 10 years. I earn $96,000 with bonuses. I recently realized that my salary is low for my experience and education. Other companies are offering an average of $130,000. I want to look for another job, but I'm not sure this is the right time. My husband and I are hoping to have a second child sooner than later. My husband is also starting a new job this month, and I'm afraid it may be too late for me to make this change since I'm in my late 30s.
Oh, God, you're about to die any minute.
Yeah, there's a pattern
here. Late 30s, how do you make it?
We
have wheelchair, it'll hold you back.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
We have a year's worth of money saved, which would help with the risk of taking a new job.
Why is there a risk?
And she finishes with, should I look for other opportunities at this stage of my life? So three times now we've heard, it may be too late since I'm in my late 30s at this stage of my life. So a lot of fear over something, Rita, that you don't need to be afraid of. First of all, you're in your prime. So there's nothing about being too late. You are absolutely in your prime, your most marketable time, over the next decade and a half. So I don't know what you're afraid of other than rejection. And it's normal when we take on change, which is the unknown. And so what you have to do is just focus on what you know, that you can get as much as $130,000, according to your research, which is a significant bump. It's 34 grand in bump based on what you do, your experience, and your talent. So I would go for it. You never know when the baby's coming or not. And so I wouldn't wait. I would take the opportunity now to move up in income and give yourself a ladder financially.
Now,
the fear is, you've said it's about being in your late 30s, and that's an excuse. You're afraid to put yourself out there, and so what we do is we manufacture some real excuses so that we can feel better about pausing or holding off, and
now,
it's a crutch.
Rita, when you take the new job, before you take it, I want you to make very sure that the quality of people inside the company is excellent, that these are good humans and you want to be with them every day because you're going to spend a lot of time with them. And so you don't want to get more money but go into a toxic cesspool of humanity. And that can happen. And programmers sometimes forget to understand the quality of culture that you're working in matters. The other thing you don't want to do is, if you're working 40 hours a week now, you don't want to go to a place that expects you to work 80 hours a week. And so you need to have real clarity on the culture of the organization, the quality of the humans you're going to be around, and what the work hour expectation is. And one more thing, we want to be comfortable that this company you're going to work for is not some startup and they're running it out of their back pocket and they're about to go broke any minute, but they pay a lot today. But they're not going to live through next Friday. Okay, so if they're financially stable, it's a solid company, and they've got really good people in a really good environment, and you move up, there is nothing to fear in the change. And if you move from, you know, move up $30,000, $40,000 in income, that's nothing to fear at all. You wouldn't worry about that at all. That's like saying I drive a $500 pickup,
and I have the opportunity to go buy a $35,000 paid cash, you know, brand new Ford F-150 loaded to the max, and you know, which you probably can't get for $35,000. But anyway, the but whatever, you know, you go get a much nicer car. People don't dread change when it's better.
That's right.
And so, when it's an upgrade,
that's right. And to your point, you have to look into it. You have to put yourself out there and discover, you know, what's out there. Is it a healthy culture? And they'll do it, you know.
And Ken, I'm seeing this with people in the marketplace now with so much change in the job, you know, the great resignation, people moving to other places and working. And I've seen it with friends, and I've actually seen it with people that left Ramsey a time or two. I've seen it with other places, and they didn't do a good analysis of what they were going to.
That's right.
And they get in, they get themselves in with a group that they don't like being around, and it's bad people. Mm-hmm. And the only variable that they upgraded in was the money variable. And then, but they lose control of their life. They're working too many hours. They're working for doofuses. And then they regret making the decision. And people fear making a bad decision. But if you do your research, take your time in the interview process. Work the process. If you can make $30,000 or $40,000 more in a place with a similar number of hours that's as good or better people and they're financially stable, yes, you should do that.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. And you're absolutely right. We are seeing a lot of people. There's now a term for them called boomerang employees. They're looking to come back to companies. And the caution here is that we want you to make more money, and you should be able to make more money. However, as Dave has pointed out, if you chase just a bigger paycheck, that paycheck high wears off if you are in a toxic culture with moron leaders who don't value you. You will not last. You will not last. And you have to look at the entire picture and make sure that you're not leaving just for a bigger paycheck, but for opportunity that's going to make your entire life better.
Yeah, the other thing that's boomeranging is this: the person who thought they wanted to work from home.
Yes,
and
very lonely.
They're heading out there. They're lonely, and they found out that, by the way, working from home actually means you also work. Sometimes it's code for I don't want to work much. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're working from home now. You're trying to do computer programming with a 3-year-old screaming, which is really hard to do. Yep. By the way,
one other trend:
working from home is not like. It's not like Nirvana, and that's people right. are discovering this. It's got all kinds of downside.
One other quick trend I want to point out on this point, Dave, is we're seeing that they're not getting promoted as much, out of sight, out of mind, as companies are returning back to the workplace. You know, leaders are going to promote people that they're interacting with a little bit more. We're seeing this in the data, so this is a real risk as well.
Yeah, you take yourself off the market. Wow. Yeah, we're seeing people come back from other jobs that were bad. We're seeing them come back from work from home. They don't come back to Ramsey because we have a policy we don't rehire. We figure the reason you left is the reason you'll screw us and leave again. So, you know, once you're gone, we love you. Go to work somewhere else. This is The Ramsey Show. Coleman Ramsey Personality is my co-host today in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage. Alan and Anya are with us. Hey, guys, how are you?
Great.
Doing great. Great.
Welcome. Where do you guys live?
Long Beach, California.
All the way to Nashville to do a debt-free scream. How much did you pay off?
$690,000.
Woo-hoo-hoo! And how long did this take?
9 years, 11 months.
Wow. Ooh, suspiciously like 10 years. Wow. And your range of income during the decade?
We started right around 200, and last year we were up over 400, and with a lot of overtime, so now we're backing it back down again.
Good for you. What do you guys do for a living? My goodness.
I'm a Ramsey Certified Financial Coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I operate heavy equipment in the port of Long Beach.
Ah, yeah, both of you doing well. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And working a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of people waiting on you. Yeah, I had a line back up there.
Yeah, I did my best.
Wasn't your fault. Yeah. But yeah, that was a deal.
I was
thinking
the same thing about all those ships that were lined up. Is that still the case, or is it?
No.
Okay, good.
You got caught up, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, all that lot of OT though, huh?
Absolutely.
I bet. So, what kind of debt was the $690,000? Is that the house?
It was a little bit of everything. We had a credit card, we had a HELOC, we had a truck loan, and we had
personal loan.
Oh yeah, we had a personal loan,
mm-hmm. And then we had three mortgages.
Three mortgages.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
It's California.
Exactly. Absolutely.
All right. So you're 100% debt free, house and everything.
Everything. Yep.
We're looking at weird people. I love it. Congratulations, you guys, and a decade of hustle and grind.
Ooh, like yes. You said, it's a marathon.
Yeah, for real. That's amazing. So tell us the story. What starts you on a decade-long journey to be 100% free?
Our church, Arbor Road Church in Long Beach, was offering FPU.
Yep.
And they had free childcare. So we had a 3 and a 7-year-old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounded like a night off for me.
Right. Yeah.
So I said, let's do this.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, dear.
Yeah, good man.
So free babysitter. That's the hook. Okay.
That's
who
the hook.
Who knew? Yeah, there we go. All right. And you go in there and you go, okay, my night off just turned into, I now have an assignment.
Absolutely.
Well, it's all about the communication. That's, mm-hmm. That's the key to it, really. It's about setting that time aside and being intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big deal. Congratulations. So do you remember back 10 years ago, the lessons, there were 13 lessons then.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How far into the class before you went, oh, game on, we got to do this?
I'm pretty stubborn. I took the class twice.
Okay. So the second time
you
were going through it, how far into the class? No. Okay.
About halfway through.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Kind of. You remember the light switch going on?
Yes, I do.
Little light bulb over your head, cha-chink, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember those moments in my life at different things, yeah. It's pretty incredible. And so how long have you been a Ramsey coach, Anya?
I started last year. I've led 4 sessions of FPU.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, I need to dig deeper into this and do the coaching. It's just what I need to do. Yeah.
Cool. Very cool. It's obviously working, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for all the help and the leading of this. And so you said the key to getting out is intentionality and communication. What about you, Alan? What do you say the key to getting out is?
For me, it was about legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I came from some challenges in my life,
mm-hmm.
and if I can do it, anyone can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to break that chain and to create a legacy, that was my why.
Changing the family tree.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For our listening audience, Alan is holding a classic that Dave talks about, has talked about for decades, The Tortoise and the Hare, the children's book. That's a good-looking addition there. I got to set you up. You brought that for a reason. You've been holding on to it. Why does that mean so much to you to bring it today?
Well, 10 years is a long time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
But slow and steady wins the race.
Mm-hmm.
And we're 40 years old when we started this, and now we're positioned to retire inspired.
Mm. Yeah. You have zero debt, house or anything. You live in California. Hello. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yep.
That's a big deal. You make really good money, and you have not a payment in the world.
Nope.
Was it worth it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's a long run.
It is.
Long run. How's it feel to be free?
It's amazing. Knowing that he can work or not work. Mm. He can retire early.
Mm-hmm.
We can spend more time at the vacation home in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Spending more time with our grandkids as well. So.
Yeah, here we go. Game on.
Yep.
Good job, you guys. Very, very good job. Outside of the two of you, outside your family, who was the biggest cheerleaders?
We have our kids here with us.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was a really big supporter.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of friends who thought that it was a great idea for us.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're taking out new 30-year mortgages at our age.
Mm-hmm.
And so a friend of ours gave us a little gift of a unicorn when we paid off our first mortgage in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Because there really wasn't anyone around us, doing that. So, we've tried to encourage people, you know, I mean, we can do it. Anyone can do it.
Absolutely. You know, Southern California, it's such a rat race. Everyone's caught up like a hamster in a wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And concepts like peace, contentment, and freedom, they're foreign when you're on that wheel.
Mm.
And when you're on the other side, it's unexplainable.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You said something, Alan, earlier I don't want the audience to miss. I'm just curious how you would explain to us. You said you had a tough past is basically what I heard. You had a really interesting past, and you said if I can do it, anybody can do it. What are you taking away from that? What do you mean? What do you want the audience to understand about that?
When I, right after I met him, in the mid-90s, he was homeless.
Huh.
And
behind drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, just knowing that just one foot in front of the other, support from those around you, anything's possible.
Yeah. For a point in my 20s, I got into mountain climbing.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it's better not to look at the summit. Just look at what's in front of you, mm-hmm. one step after another.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. It took 10 years, but we're here.
You're on top of the mountain.
Absolutely.
Well, I got to tell you, man, when you come through that, how sweet it is! I love it. Congratulations, man. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Woo!
You.
Man, I'm fired up. Yeah, I'm with you. You've conquered some serious stuff in your life. This debt was just another one.
Absolutely.
One more down. I like it. It's a warrior.
Yeah, right after we finished the FPU class, actually, we had a major disaster at our vacation home in Arizona, and a flood came through town that was about a 100-year flood,
mm-hmm.
and the water came up to the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we got knocked down a few times along the way. It's not an easy road,
mm-hmm.
but you just keep getting up.
Yeah.
You know, you just keep doing it day after day.
Yeah, that's powerful. Very good stuff, you guys. All right, bring the guys in. What are their names and ages?
So we have Aiden, who mm-hmm. is 18,
mm-hmm.
and we have Aaron, who is 14.
All right, perfect stuff. Yeah, that's the three-year-old there. Now he's 13. I love it.
Yep.
Good stuff. All right, we got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. You're probably already that with that real estate paid for in California. How to Ordinary People Build Extraordinary Wealth, how you can too, and also a copy of Total Money Makeover. You can give that away in your coaching and stir up a ruckus with somebody. We're so proud of you guys. You're amazing people. What heroes.
Thank you.
Absolutely phenomenal. Thank you for sharing your story with us. Very nice. $690,000 paid off in 9 years and 11 months, making $200,000 to $400,000. Alan and Anya, Aiden and Aaron from Long Beach, 100% debt-free. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
Three, two, one.
We're debt-free!
This is the Ramsey Show. Ken Coleman, Ramsey personality, host of The Ken Coleman Show, author of the book From Paycheck to Purpose, is my co-host this hour as we talk to you about building wealth, doing work you love, and creating actual amazing relationships. Andrew is with us. Andrew is in Durham, North Carolina. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, hello. It's great to speak with you two gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Our honor, sir.
Yes. I'm a grandfather, mid-80s. My wife and I are well off financially. Actually, we've been debt-free for 30 years, and we visited your studio 2 years ago. Wonderful, wonderful experience. Here's my question. We have five young adult grandchildren. One is 26, graduated college 2 years ago, summa cum laude, great Christian girl. She took a Christian internship that provided her a part-time job with some lawyers, and she finished the internship and went on to take the full-time position as a paralegal. So she's making like in the mid-30s. She really dislikes the job. She loves writing, seems to have talent in that field. She wants to be in like journalism, broadcasting. She has an opportunity to attend a one-year master's program at a well-regarded Northern University. The cost is about $75,000. She'll get a $25,000 scholarship. She needs an additional $50,000 plus living costs. My concerns are this. She's never worked in the field that she's interested in, and I just wonder how, you know, how important that would be in her career. We're thinking of helping, but maybe having some strings attached, maybe a loan from our family trust. And I'm just wondering how you would guide her and my wife and myself to help her to maximum ability.
Wow.
Fantastic question. So I think she needs to spend some time with people that are in broadcasting or journalism in the specific area that she's interested in. There might be two or three different lanes. And my advice would be to have her spend some time with them to learn the ins and outs. And what does a day look like? What does the financial path look like? What does growth look like? Not just in position, but also in income. And then I would also challenge her to reconsider the prestigious university in the Northeast, because nobody cares where a broadcaster went to school. They just don't. In fact, we don't even care where our doctors went to school, by evidence of the fact that few of us ever ask where our doctors went to med school. And so the scholarship of $25,000 at a very prestigious school could probably be a full scholarship potentially, or certainly less money for you to give to her to further her education and get that experience. I will say in broadcasting, a degree is not required. At the age of 33, I made a pivot to move into broadcasting, and I had to earn my way and figure out how to do it on the side, and eventually got Dave Ramsey's attention. But there was no school or degree involved. It was just good old-fashioned learning how to do broadcasting, doing small things while having a day job. And so I would say that in broadcasting, if she were to get a full ride or you were to pay a lot less money for a less prestigious school, but that one-year program got her some real-life broadcasting experience in the form of internships and some premium placement, that could certainly help, but it's not necessary.
So,
I
really appreciate your heart, Andrew, and the way you asked the question, the way you poised it is very loving, but it's also very wise and very practical, as would be expected from a man like you. The thing is this, okay, I've been in broadcasting for 30 years. I work with just about every major network that you see or hear on television or radio anywhere. I do interviews almost every week with someone outside of here, whether they be in New York or California or Atlanta or Durham, North Carolina even. And I got to tell you, I don't think that as a matter of fact, I'm 100% positive that a master's degree is not necessary to be a writer and to be a journalist. It's simply not. And it's certainly not worth $75,000 for a one-year program. There's no return on investment on that. The goal that your granddaughter has is a valid goal, and she has discovered or has been told a mistaken method to get to her goal. The ladder that she wants to use to get to her goal is the wrong ladder. It's not a necessary ladder, and it's super expensive. And so I don't know that as a grandpa you'll be able to talk her down off this thing. She's probably all hyped up about going to this particular school. The prestige of it's got her all jazzed, and she's jonesed up with it. And she's got this idea that being a master's is, you know, having a master's is going to open all these doors. And the truth is, it just doesn't. It doesn't. You can either write and you get in there and you start writing and you write, and you learn to write copy and you learn to communicate verbally, and you learn to work a stage or a camera or a microphone, depending on which side of the thing you're going to be on and what part of broadcasting and journalism you're going to be involved in. But, you know, here's the other thing. They don't make any money. It's not a big lucrative career. And so, I mean, if you're a writer for a major network in New York City, you make 50 or 60 grand and you're 25, 26 years old and they work you 80 hours a week. And, you know, and so you can't justify a $75,000 additional expense to go do that.
No.
She's already got the skills to do it. And we work with those young people every day. And most of them are young people in these roles. And they're writing the teleprompter for the script we're getting ready to do and the interview. And most people don't follow it after they write it, but it's done, you know. And so I don't know how you're going to talk her out of it. But, boy, if you could, you should, because she's barking up the wrong tree. She's getting ready to spend a whole bunch of money she doesn't need to spend to go do something she doesn't need to do to get to be who she wants to be.
Yeah.
And I actually do know something about that. You know, it's like we're actually right square in the middle of it. You know?
Right. Well, neither you or I have formal broadcasting training. We just started doing it, and you stink at first.
You think of the number of people that we talk to that are behind the scenes, that are writers.
Oh, yeah.
They're print reporters in journalism. Or they're script writers for shows, and they're trying to build, you know, what we call produce a segment.
That's correct.
Meaning that we're working with Fox and Friends, and we're getting ready to go on Fox and Friends, and the producer that's producing the segment normally is 26 years old.
Oh, yeah. No masters.
And I don't know if she or he's got a master's, but I have no indication that they do, and I have no care if they do.
Right.
Neither does Steve Ducey when he steps in front of the camera.
Yeah.
All he wants to know is, did we produce a segment where it's logical, it's cogent, the narrative is there, the story arc is there, are we delivering in a concise manner, and basic journalism rules? And, I mean, you can get that in a community college taking three writing classes.
Outside of that, Dave, the very first broadcasting and only broadcasting class I ever took was $699 with a local TV and radio producer. He was legit in Atlanta. And I was with a bunch of 20-somethings. And I learned things in that six-week course, one night a week, 6 weeks. I learned things in that course that I still use today with you. And it's the basic fundamentals. So who can teach me what I actually need to learn is the question we ask.
And Andrew, what we're all talking about here is, you and Ken and I, is where the education system and the culture have misled about the last three generations and told them that where you go to school matters. And that you always have to have more school no matter what, and that ridiculous levels of education are necessary to pull off some of these basic jobs, and they're not. She has a 4-year degree. She's been a paralegal. She's already doing writing all day long. It's just boring, bad writing in the law office, you know, and so she's fine. I would tell her to go to work in the journalism field. She doesn't like her job, change jobs, and take some night classes on writing. And that's what I would do. And I would not loan her money. And I would not give her money to do something that is a path that I don't believe is the correct path. This is The Ramsey Show. Dave here. You can find all of our shows with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. It's the only place to listen to the entire back catalog of episodes. Download the Ramsey Network app in your favorite app store today.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Ken Coleman Show.
Are you doing what you were born to do? I'm Ken Coleman, host of The Ken Coleman Show, where I give you practical advice to help you discover your purpose and then map out a plan to get you there. From accounting to advertising, from plumbing to production, you were created to fill a unique role, and the world needs what you have to offer. Join me on The Ken Coleman Show wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.